Hey there, I'm George Sedano, a name you might recognize from crushing the competition on Around the Horn, and a voice you might recognize from ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. Fun fact, though, I also got Spurs head coach Greg Popovich to smile once during a sideline interview. So you're going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done, tell the best sports stories in audio day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Hallie Grossman, you profiled NFL draft prospect Bijan Robinson from the University of Texas. Your piece starts with him on a trip regarding a draft interview. So take us to that particular place, where and when.
Yeah, it actually takes us to my hometown, Philadelphia, and South Philly specifically. So it's late March, about a month before the draft at this point. And Bijan Robinson flies to the city for what you said amounts to a job interview. He heads to the Eagles practice facility and he meets with the team's general manager, Howie Roseman, in Roseman's office. They talk for about 15 minutes and they're not even really discussing football that much. Bijan's talking about his family, how he grew up in Tucson, what he does in his downtime, what he'd do in Philly if he were to get drafted and live there. But the conversation does turn to football one time. And here's what Howie Roseman wants to know. He says to Bijan, pitch me. Why do I need to take you with the 10th pick of the draft?
Okay, so what was Bijan's pitch to Howie Roseman?
Yeah, so here's where it takes somewhat of a surprising turn. Bijan says, you're not going to get a running back. You're going to get a difference maker. And that's an interesting thing to say when you are literally the best running back in the draft, right? Because no question, that's what Bijan is.
It's Robinson stepping through a tackle. Bijan Robinson on the gas pedal and in.
He is hands down the top prospect at the position this year.
Back to the ground with Robinson, who spins and then tries to bounce it. A stiff arm, another one.
Bijan Robinson is a generational talent.
Robinson breaks a tackle. 20, 15, 10, say goodnight to it.
And this generational talent, this generational running back, lays out his pitch like this. He is not a running back. He's a difference maker. In part because he really does want to do more than just join the team. He wants to join a city, to be a part of that city and part of that community. But as it pertains to football, the point that he's really hammering home is that he is so much more than a running back.
It'll be Robinson, and he finds a running lane. What a sweet move to the second level and beyond. Touchdown, Bijan Robinson.
He's going to create mismatches anywhere on the field. He can line up in the backfield, but also the outside.
Hand off, right side run, and out into the open along the sideline. That's Bijan Robinson, who stayed in bounds. Diddy, touchdown.
He'll take handoffs and run the ball, but he can run a route like a receiver and catch the ball like a receiver.
Ewers to throw here. Going for Robinson is open. Caught inside the 20. A breakdown defensively, and Robinson makes another house call. 41-yard touchdown for the Longhorns.
You know, I asked Bijan what play he'd want to show Howie Roseman, or any GM for that matter, that shows exactly why that team should pick him high in the first round, say with the 10th overall pick, right? And Bijan, who has this sizzle reel of runs he could choose from, says the play he really wants them to see is this one-handed circus catch he made against Iowa State last year. And that, I think, is just really, really telling.
Ewers puts away. What a catch by Robinson.
You know, people tell him all the time, Bijan, if this was 2006, you'd be the first pick in the draft, no question. But it is not 2006. It is tough out there for a running back, even for one as rare as Bijan Robinson. There was a time when he would have been in contention for the first overall pick, maybe even a lock for the top five pick. And today is just not that day. That day is probably never coming back. And what that means is that Bijan might be the best athlete and offensive weapon in this draft, period. He just won't necessarily get drafted like he is. He told me two things about his conversation with Howie Roseman. One, that after Bijan had laid it all out on the table, said his piece, done his pitching, that Roseman told him that was one hell of a pitch. But he also told me this. He said he knows he could deliver one hell of a pitch, the pitch to end all pitches, just absolutely nail it. And at the end of the day, at the end of that meeting, it's still a GM or a coach or any NFL decision maker saying, all right, great, we'll see you on draft day. As in, you know, maybe don't call us, we'll call you. And look, that's true for every player up and down the board, but it's especially true for Bijan, I think, because here's Bijan's fundamental dilemma. He is a generational talent. He's just coming along in the wrong generation.
Bijan Robinson has earned his place within the pantheon of great Texas Longhorn running backs, alongside names like Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, and Jamaal Charles. But despite Bijan's ability and production, chances are the generational talent won't be picked at the top of next week's NFL draft. It's a testament to how much the value of running backs has changed in the modern NFL. So today, Hallie Grossman stops by to share Bijan Robinson's story and tells us how his only mistake may have been being born in the wrong generation. I'm George Sedano. It's Thursday, April 20th. This is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hallie, let's go back to the very beginning, where Bijan is from, how football became a passion for him.
Sure. Bijan grew up in Tucson in a very tight-knit family. So in his childhood home was his mom, Lamore, his aunt, and his grandparents, Jerry and Cleo. And it's his grandfather, Cleo, who he really starts to take after.
He was my role model. I mean, every time he would just come home, I would just run over to him and just jump on him. Just because, first of all, he was the only guy in the house. And I just knew that he would play with me. When he got home, he'll play catch. We'll do something related to football.
You know, Jerry says they walk alike and they talk alike. They love the same things. Cleo was actually a football referee in the Pac-12 for decades. He only retired just this past year so he could be at Bijan's games at Texas. His grandfather told us.
1978 is when I started officiating. I worked on the field for 26 years. I watched football and I would come home, watch videos of my game. Bijan, he was around and he noticed it. And I think at one point, it's just something that he caught on to.
But what do you know? Young Bijan grows up to absolutely love football. He has his heroes. He loves Reggie Bush, just loves him. Cleo brought home three of Reggie Bush's game tapes one time, and that became Bijan's nighttime ritual. His mom would pop in the game tapes, literal tapes, into the VCR, and he'd watch them before bed most nights. He said it was that or SpongeBob. So when he was about 8 years old and playing youth football, he asked his grandparents and mom, just pleaded with them to play for a different team. The team he wanted to play for, the Broncos, they're 30 minutes away. And it's Jerry, his grandmother, who does all the drop-offs and pickups. So she says, look, Bijan, you better have a good reason here. This isn't an easy ask you're making. Why do you have to play for this team? And he tells them that the team he was on wasn't teaching him anything, but he could see from the Broncos' style of play, their discipline, that he could learn from them. And his grandmother looks at this eight-year-old, thinks, yeah, you know what? That's a good reason. And the day that he got his Broncos helmet, he went to sleep in it. They just couldn't get it off of him. So from a very young age, football is just this great love.
That's awesome. That's such a great story. And wow, what an astute eight-year-old. You don't see that very often.
So I know, right?
That's pretty fun. All right. So how would you describe his early football career as we get into kind of that youth football into the high school area?
Bijan had a lot of interest. He was the drummer for his church growing up, but it's football that commands his absolute adoration. Cleo says that for basically every birthday growing up, every holiday, Bijan would get a football for his present. And every time it was just newly thrilling. So they have this growing collection of footballs in the home. And he and Cleo are always throwing one back and forth, like just indoor catch all the time. So much so that Jerry, over the years, she collected two full boxes of the glassware that Bijan and Cleo managed to break.
We had a big bin just full of footballs, and you never saw him without a football. That was his security blanket. He had to have a football.
His mom told us,
"My mom has a box of stuff." And she said, "Bijan, when you make it to the NFL, she said, you are going to pay back everything you have broke from all these footballs being thrown around the house."
There was lamp, vases, picture frames. She actually saved all those broken glass shards and she took them out of storage recently because she's sending them to an artist who will make them into a collage. She's naming it All the Broken Pieces and she fully intends for Bijan to hang it in his new house after he's drafted. But by way of explanation, Cleo said, "Look, we played a lot of catch and sometimes the ball did not go where it was supposed to." But Bijan gets better and better and all those errant passes start to look pretty accurate. And he looks so good passing the ball that by 10 or 11, Cleo, who, by the way, like knows a thing or two about high level football and Division I football, he's seen up close Andrew Luck and Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer. He says to his grandson, "I think you need to work out a quarterback."
We played catch a lot, and I would give him some instruction, you know, how to throw the ball, how to step forward until it's throw, and so forth. I remember at one point he was doing it so well that I said, "You know, man, I think you can be a good quarterback." And he said, "Nope, I'm a running back."
He's always called Cleo Dad, and he says at the time, "Dad, no, I'm a running back, period." So even before he really had to be, Bijan was a pretty fierce ambassador for running backs.
That's wild. And the fact that he had that kind of conviction at such an early age. And look, it turned out okay for him. Rushed for 2,000 yards for multiple seasons, three straight seasons in high school. He visited all the big schools, all the big coaches, Harbaugh, Day, Kelly, Lincoln Riley, etc. But he chose Texas. So why Texas?
Yeah, so he forms this incredibly close bond with the Texas running backs coach at the time, Stan Drayton. Bijan really latches onto him, and it's mutual. Stan Drayton really latches onto Bijan.
When Coach Drayton came, then everything kind of changed for me because I just knew that he was different, obviously, and just his personality, how he went about things, how big his faith was.
There was a spell where actually Coach Drayton thought he was going to lose Bijan. Bijan had made a silent commitment to Ohio State, and Stan Drayton says there was only one other recruit in his 30 years as a coach that he felt that bad about losing, and it was CJ Spiller. That was how much he loved Bijan. But obviously, he doesn't wind up losing out on him. Bijan commits to Texas, and he lives up to his billing. He's phenomenal. He forced 91 missed tackles last season. That's the most in college football. He averaged 3.9 yards after contact, had 8 runs that went for more than 30 yards. You know, he's explosive.
Robinson trying to follow his blockers, reversing field. Robinson, stutter step. Robinson turns on the jets, and Robinson is in. Touchdown 4 for Bijan Robinson. Now you see me. Now you don't. You can't catch him.
His body control and balance are insane. Tashard Choice, who was Bijan's position coach for his last year at Texas, basically starts giggling when he describes one of Bijan's runs from the Oklahoma game last season because he says Bijan basically looked like he was levitating over the grass.
Bijan Robinson able to get to the edge and carries a man with him down to the 20.
So, you know, he's just every inch the five-star recruit that Texas thought it was getting. He winds up 9th in Heisman Trophy voting last year. So he doesn't join some of the all-time Texas running backs that you mentioned, Heisman winners, Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams. But, and I don't think this is a controversial take here, he absolutely joins them as one of the best Longhorns ever. And I want to take a step back and note that he was doing this all as a Longhorn. He was doing this all at Texas when he could have been doing it anywhere in the country, at Alabama or Ohio State, USC. And he chose Texas at a time when the Longhorns brand had really lost some of its luster. He said outright that college football is better when Texas is good, and he wanted to help the Longhorns reclaim their rightful spot among college football royalty. That was more compelling to him. That idea was more of a draw to him than a potentially easier road to the playoffs or a national championship. So he has this track record of taking on these big reclamation projects. He wanted to make Texas be Texas again, and now he wants to make running backs great again too.
What was he like in the community? Because when I spoke to Steve Sarkisian, he talked about just what a great young man he was.
Where I've seen him grow is, as hard as he works, as good as a person that he is, I think I've seen him start to share those qualities with others. I've seen the leader start to come out in him from a work ethic standpoint, from how to conduct ourselves off the field. And he has a lot to give.
I know he had a mustard brand. I believe it was called Bijan Mustardson. So we know he's got the sales component to him and the pitch man component to him, as you alluded to earlier as well. What was he like in the community of Austin?
You know, it's beloved, I think. And that feeling is mutual, because when I asked him, was he sad to leave Austin? His answer was sort of, I don't intend on leaving Austin. Like, that's his home now. I think he always intends to have that be a part of his story and a part of his community.
Up next, why it's harder than ever to make it as a running back in today's NFL.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, Hallie, we've been dancing around throughout this conversation about the quote-unquote conundrum with the running back position in the National Football League. So why is it a conundrum? What is the issue here with running backs?
First and foremost, the way the draft is structured is just pretty brutal for running backs right now. The NFL draft uses a slotted system, meaning the higher the draft slot, the higher the payday. So if you take a running back in the top 10, he's instantly going to be one of the higher paid running backs in the league before ever taking a snap. And that's because even the top veteran running backs just don't command those eye-popping salaries. But think about what happens if you take a wide receiver in the top 10 who eventually will demand that eye-popping salary. You can get a Ja'Marr Chase, who is a $30 million player on a rookie deal. That's a steal. That's a ton of value. And of course, there are other factors at play here. Just fundamentally, how the game is played has diminished the value for running backs. Think about blocking, right? Running backs need more help to be successful than most other positions. If the blocking is bad, then they're left making the best of a bad situation. And maybe a great running back like Bijan does make something out of nothing, but maybe he doesn't. And on the other hand, if the blocking is good, then running backs can capitalize on everything having gone right. And a lot of running backs can do that capitalizing. So that's a blow to their individual value. And lastly, I just call out the nature of the running and passing games, period. The gap between the best passing game and the worst one is so much bigger than the gap between the best and worst rushing attacks, nearly twice as big, statistically speaking, when you look at EPA per dropback compared to EPA per design run. And that variance matters. The best way to win a Super Bowl is to put together the best passing attack. So you have all these different knocks, so to speak, and what you're left with is really inhospitable environment.
Which is why he has to be this ultimate offensive weapon and not just be a guy who totes the rock 20, 25 times a game. He's got to be involved in other ways. Similar to a running back we see in the NFC East with Saquon Barkley when he's been healthy. Now, I guess my question to you is this. If he does get drafted high, the team that takes him is going to have to deal with some potential grief. Now, he's used to that particular scrutiny because, as we mentioned earlier, he went to a school in Texas that featured some of the greatest running backs in the history of the game. So he's used to pressure. He's okay with selling himself. He seems at peace when I read your story. But how does he justify his draft position? What would he have to accomplish?
Yeah, so to your point, Bijan's predicament is interesting because on one side, behind door number one, that modern thinking sort of says, hey, no, don't draft a running back high in the first round. That idea claims another victim, and Bijan isn't drafted nearly as high as his talent, in a vacuum at least, really merits. And then on the other hand, let's say there is a world where he is drafted that high. Behind door number two, Howie Roseman or some other GM says Bijan is special enough to pick high up in the first round. Well, what kind of production would he have to come back with to make that pick worth it? You know, I spoke to one NFL staffer who said he'd probably have to come in and be the best running back in the league at a minimum. And what does that look like? Is it being Christian McCaffrey year in and year out? You know, 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving? Because that's really, really hard. That's been done 3 times in the history of the NFL. So behind door number two, the expectations might balloon to these astronomical sizes.
That's pretty wild when you think about it. The fact that he's going to have to do things that are unprecedented, have only been done 3 times to justify this. When you look at guys like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, they both look at him as a top five-ish type talent, but yet he's probably going to get drafted in the middle, maybe in the later part of the first round. I don't understand that. I mean, I get the math part of it, but I still feel like if you've got a unique talent, you figure out how to make that person part of what you want to do. No, shouldn't that be the process here? Is that how he feels about it?
You know, a lot of people feel that way. You know, if Barry Sanders is sitting there, you don't pass up Barry Sanders. With Bijan in particular, you know, I asked him to, when would you draft yourself? And he said, humbly, I would draft myself number one. Humbly. It's an interesting conundrum he finds himself in for sure.
How does he feel about the pressure about this particular conversation now when it comes to the NFL? Like, you've talked to him about how he puts the running back position on his shoulders. It feels like literally sometimes, albeit figuratively. How does he feel about this particular pressure, which is a new set of pressures that he has to deal with, unlike the ones that he dealt with in college and coming up the ranks?
Yeah. Well, to quote Bijan, he doesn't believe in pressure. It's non-existent to him, which seems like a preposterous thing to say, you know, but having been in the room with him when he's all smiles, he really does make you believe that he believes it. As for the discourse itself, the running back discourse that's out there, like we've talked about it, he knows it's out there. It's impossible not to know it's out there. But I think the way that he wants to handle that discourse is by setting out to reframe it. You know, I mentioned earlier that he wanted to help Texas be Texas again. Well, he wants to revive the running backs brand too. Like you said, he's putting that on his shoulders. Now, he doesn't wax nostalgic about what that looks like. He himself says the days of being a running back that just runs right through your face, as he puts it, like those days are kind of gone. He sees the job of making the position valuable again as a mandate to be a new era kind of running back, the kind he pitched to Howie Roseman all those weeks ago.
I'm genuinely curious to see where he goes because it really is an outlier situation. Most running backs are probably not deserving of a top 10 draft status. But in this case, you're talking about a guy who, as he humbly said, could be the best overall prospect in the draft. I can't wait to see where he goes.
You know, the fact that he demands this conversation at all is probably a testament to just how talented he is and what he brings to the table and how rare it is.
Okay, so we're about a week out from the draft or so. What's his attitude towards draft night specifically and what he's going to have to deal with on that particular evening?
Yeah, Bijan is going to be in Kansas City next Thursday. He'll be there at the draft with his grandparents and his mother, with his high school coach and Stan Drayton, his former running back coach from Texas. And I asked him, is any part of you nervous that, you know, you'll be the guy the camera pans to? You know, that guy who's waiting and waiting and waiting to get picked. And he's not. He swears he's not. He basically said that whatever happens, he's going to still be smiling.
You know, I don't want to say it's unfair. You know, I think that, you know, God has a plan of wherever I'm going to be at personally. And, you know, you just never know on that day where you're going to go. And for me, it's important to just keep enjoying the moment.
And look, he has reason too. When Bijan flew into Philadelphia for that meeting with Howie Roseman, when he got off the plane, Eagles fans at the airport were applauding him. They're cheering him, telling him, we need you here. And, you know, whether it's my hometown of Philly or another altogether that gets him, I think that moment at the airport was a reminder to Bijan that, you know, bad luck, bad timing aside, he's exactly where he belongs.
Excellent work, Hallie. Awesome storytelling. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm George Sedano. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.